This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, all right, we do a podcast for you as we do every goddamn day. Well, not Saturday and Sunday, but today. Right.
Oh, absolutely, Jerry. Oh, absolutely. Quick update to something that came up in the warm-up show.
Yeah.
Which, at the start of the warm-up show, I had mentioned how occasionally you'll get an Amazon driver who will ring your doorbell.
Yes, you'll hear all about this coming up in about 15 minutes. Yeah.
But so I was like, oh, I wonder if there's a way for me to go on my Amazon app to make it so they don't ring my doorbell. Because really, out of every 10 deliveries, maybe one time they ring the doorbell. But last night they rang the doorbell at 9:50.
You have settings?
I go through settings. I see nothing. So then I Google it to see how I do it. And there's no way to shut it off. But on the Amazon policy, it says an Amazon driver may ring your door or knock on your door between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. So this guy was out of his...
9:50.
This guy was past his... I wonder when he rang...
We're all fired. I'm kidding.
I must have... I wonder if when he hit the button, he was like, oh, damn, it's 9:50.
Maybe.
He could have lost track of time.
Maybe.
You know, just got used to...
Yeah. It's possible.
Bringing the package up there, ringing the bell.
He's just in his work day.
Yeah. Can't win either way, right? If he doesn't ring the bell, someone could say, you know, you just threw my package on the porch.
Yes. A
porch pirate stole it. If he rings the bell, he's waking you up.
That's true.
Tough spot for him, Jerry. I'm just saying, I did get some clarification, so you can get your doorbell rung 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
I will tell you, and this is a compliment to you today, you're quite chipper for someone that had your terrible sleep, which your sleep's already bad. You had your bad sleep interrupted.
Yeah, I don't know why.
When you weren't expecting it.
Correct.
And for a different reason, so quite chipper today.
Thank you, Jerry.
Must be the sunny weather outside.
It's the beautiful, warm climate we live in.
God.
So yesterday, I finally have had it with dog poop in the neighborhood.
Okay.
You know, it's not legal. It is illegal.
To leave it.
To let your dog poop in public and to leave it.
Yeah.
It just is, for whatever reason.
Disgusting.
Yeah. And I'm sure this happens around various towns. It's all over my town. In particular, my section of the neighborhood, there's a lot of dog poop.
Terrible.
Yeah, really terrible. It really picks up in the winter because there aren't as many people around.
And it's also probably people that are winter renters that don't care.
Thank you, winter renters. Exactly, Jerry.
Yeah. Would be my opinion.
They're new. I see a lot of new people walking dogs. And I try to size up, based on the size of the poop, who it could be. So I finally ordered, and they were delivered, cameras that I'm going to be putting in my windows that look outside.
Oh, boy.
I am going to catch... the pooper. I've had it. I've had enough.
I don't blame you.
But my question was...
What are you going to do about it? Are you really going to go confront them?
That's the great question. What do you do about it? Because it's a $250 fine.
You could post it, I suppose.
Post it, or I can... I was trying to think. I hate calling the police on dumb things. So I was trying to Google, and it really goes town by town as to how they handle this. Like, in some towns of New Jersey, the health department handles this.
Okay.
In other towns, the sanitation department handles it.
Oh.
And in other towns, the police department. So I want to properly...
This would be good if it's not the police for you.
Yeah, I agree. But I have a feeling...
A new department you can start annoying.
I totally agree, Jerry. I'm hoping it's not the police department.
If it's the health department, it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. So what I want to do is get video and then be able to then know who it is, know where they live. Okay. Then I can connect to the authorities. Here's a video proof. Here's where they live. Go knock on their door.
And here's my invoice for doing correct. Your job.
I was going to post something on the Bradley Beach Forum, but people will take the side of the person
once
who's
again,
leaving dog poop on the ground.
Once again, they win.
Yeah. That's what they're going to decide. I'm not even doing it.
So funny.
Yeah, because people will be like,
how about this?
Hey,
on
man.
A, how about on the Facebook of Bradley Beach page, you post the video?
Oh, they'll be, this is
very
against,
simply, are you guys okay with this? That's it.
And I'll get, this is someone's privacy. Maybe they didn't
don't
have
show
a
their
bag.
Face. Don't show their face.
Right.
If you don't show their face, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's it.
But then I imagine, like, people then purposely having their dogs poop on my lawn. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
But I'm going to have you all on videotape.
That's true.
Because I get, I ordered my camera yesterday, Jerry.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be so awesome.
God, you need a, well, I guess this is your hobby.
Yeah, it is my hobby. Like, this when is. People will say, do you have nothing better to
None
do?
Of you.
I don't. I want to do this. Even if I had better things to do, this would take priority.
I love how you answer that question.
Because I think it's important. You can't have dog poop
no, it's the, I'm with
all
you.
Over
it's,
the place.
It's gross. I totally agree. I have, luckily in my neighborhood, I had not come across that. We have a lot of people that walk their dogs. You can see everyone's got the thing in their hand, the plastic bag in their hand.
Yeah.
And I've never come across a floating poop.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all over here, Jerry. So,
I'm sorry to
hear
that.
Or I could. Here's what I properly should do. I should get on video the person who does it. When I see them, say, hey, I noticed you didn't pick up your dog poop. That is should be a fine. If I see it again, I'm going to turn you in.
And they're going to turn you into the hospital with a black eye.
Yeah, I don't deserve that. It's just for following
people
the rules.
People are nuts. You don't know who you're dealing with and what their day is like and when they've reached their limit.
Right. Now, a summer or two ago, I actually saw somebody pick up their poop.
I remember the story.
And I knew it
you
was.
You followed them.
I followed them. Because the only reason why, Jerry? Older guy that I knew. When I say older, I mean grandfatherly. I knew he couldn't beat me up. So I said, okay, and I know where he lives because I knew the dog, and I had suspected them, and then I saw it. And I went over. I said, hey, you got to go pick that up. He goes, I forgot. I go, no, you didn't. I go, because you do it all the time. I said, not a single person in this house picks up poop. And how about this, Jerry? One of my current suspects is renting that house right now.
Really?
He's on one of my current suspects.
It's a poop zone.
You should have saw me yesterday. Gina came over for dinner. And I saw a guy walking a dog, and I said, hang on. I jumped out of my seat, and I looked out my window to see if I go, this is one of my, I said to her, this is one of my prime suspects. This is what I'm doing.
You're watching a lot of crime documentaries.
I know. I really wish there were a way, and there is no way to do this. If I could, you know, you watch the, what's the show you like?
Law and Order.
If there were a way, Jerry, for me to DNA sample the poop.
Oh, come on.
But I
now.
Can't.
Nor would you. That's disgusting.
You don't know that.
Why don't you get a big siren? So you got the camera.
Okay.
So now when you see someone that has the dog poop and they start walking away without cleaning up, you hit it.
And then if I could talk outside of it. Yeah, like get a speaker out there. Please go back and pick up your dog poop.
They wouldn't know where it's coming from, but it would be, hey, you in the blue shirt.
I had an idea of starting like a neighborhood watch.
Oh, my God.
Just for dog poop. Where
poop watch.
Yeah, like if I could get a list of all residents who want to be involved, all residents that have an outdoor camera and where they're located, so that I could say, I was on the corner of Lorraine and Ocean, and there's dog poop. Does anyone have a camera in that area? Then they could look into it.
I feel for you. Because I admire what you're doing.
Thank you.
But I also think you're crazy.
Maybe. Maybe a little crazy.
A little bit.
Sometimes I get, you know, I get locked in on things, Jerry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Got an email from somebody that I wanted to. He asked if we could discuss this, Jerry.
I like when we get these.
All right.
Tells me people are listening.
It involves, you know, we've talked about restaurants where you spend a lot of money and it doesn't seem worth it and all these different things, so. This comes from a man named Matt.
Okay.
He says, hi, loyal post-game pod listener since 2019.
Wow.
Been meeting to write you guys for a while about various miscellaneous topics, but tonight something occurred that I thought was right up yours and Jerry's wheelhouse. I am looking for advice on how to handle a complete shit show of a birthday dinner I took my fiance out to last night.
Uh-oh.
I specifically picked a restaurant. Now, this is meals between $60 and $90 a plate.
Ooh.
So looking for about $300 with drinks, tip, dessert, that sort of thing. Because he was, because of multiple options, I thought my fiance would be interested in this place. All day I was hyping up the fact that I was excited for her to see how this restaurant had so many options she'd like. When we arrived, the menu was not what I had seen on the restaurant's website.
Oh.
And the open table site where I made the reservations. We powered through, and when the waitress took our order, of course, the one item my fiance wanted was not on the menu.
Oh.
At that point, my own fiance was feeling awful that she was about to order a very pricey meal, which we both knew she wouldn't be interested in. We powered through. But when she ordered the new plate, she was denied a vegetable sub. She wanted asparagus in place of Brussels sprouts, and the slip-ups kept occurring. Bread was brought to the table after soup.
Oof.
Steak was extremely undercooked, and when we asked the waitress about it, she was shocked at how the slab of meat made it out of the kitchen. When it came back, it was the same piece of filet all cut up on the plate, but pushed together as if it were a new dish with a new garnish. I never returned plates, but was kind of expecting a newly made plate. At this point, my question to you and Jerry is, how do I rectify this situation? I am not a frequent corporate Karen, and I honestly don't even think I would want a gift card with this new menu. We even overheard another waitress complaining about a table of regulars about how the new chef instituted a menu that customers are not happy with. They were once known for letting customers make changes to dishes, and the strict no substitution policy patrons aren't a fan of now. Thank you in advance. What do you do, Jerry?
A couple
things here, right?
Well, the only thing I would do, and I know what I would do. I'd never go back, number one.
Right.
If you want action in terms of letting them know it, I'd write an email or a letter, but being very clear, like, I will not return.
Right.
I don't want your gift card. I just want you to know that the place has gone to hell, and this crap is not the way you run a restaurant. And that's it. I'd say my piece, and I'd never go back.
Would you do a review where others can see it?
You could. I don't like doing that because I don't like ruining people's lives
right,
and businesses. But in this case, especially if you heard other people complaining and the waitress seemed surprised, and perhaps I might. You know.
What do you think about this idea? What would you expect? You get a steak. It comes out. You cut it up. You go like, wow, this thing is like purple. And you send it back. Would you expect that same steak back? Already cut, like that you cut up, or would you expect a new steak?
I would probably expect the same steak back.
Actually, yeah, I'm trying to think whether I would or not.
Yeah, and if it was cooked or heated to be cooked or whatever, then I might eat it. If it came back the same, I might ask for the check and get up and leave.
Yeah.
I don't know. Charge me, you got to charge me. I'm getting the hell out of here. This place is awful.
Yeah, I think in that situation, if I cut up the steak and it needed to be cooked more, I think I would expect the steak back. What I never used to expect is like if I would get like, let's say I ordered a burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no cheese. And it came with cheese. And I really couldn't eat cheese. It was disgusting to me. Occasionally, when I would send it back, they'd just scrape the cheese off.
Right, you could do that.
And there'd be cheese remnants on it. Mm-hmm. In that case, I would expect a new burger.
I agree. I 100% agree with you. Because now you're talking about lactose intolerant. Maybe your body, you're allergic. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would expect, and a burger doesn't cost a lot of money. Make me a new one.
Right.
So, but in that case, especially if it's like a $50 or $60 cut, you could tell right when you cut into it immediately what it looks like.
Yeah.
I would expect it to come back.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say you said you would write to the restaurant privately.
Maybe.
Privately. Yeah. Let's say you got a response back that was like, we don't need you here anyway. Then would you go public with a review?
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Yeah. And I wouldn't lie or I wouldn't exaggerate. I would explain exactly how my night was. That's it.
That does suck. Like, it seems like this fella... was like, I'm going to spend $300. This is going to be a nice birthday dinner. We're all in. He did all the legwork, Jerry. He's looking at the menus, something the fiance is going to love.
It's really amazing whether it's going out for dinner, whether it's a vacation, could be a flight where the pilot tells you we're going to have a really bumpy ride, and it turns out to be the smoothest ride you've ever had. It's happened to me numerous times this winter. When your expectations are set high, it's unbelievable how places under-deliver. And then when you don't think anything of anything, sometimes they turn out to be the best experiences you ever had.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, it's just weird. Like, sometimes you'll see a resort online and it just looks amazing. And you get there and you're like, it's all right. Like, this is it. Like, I'll tell you, like, a good example. When we went to Texas, stayed in a hotel in, what's that beach?
Galveston.
Thank you. The pictures made it look like we were going to a 5-star resort. Now, in fairness, we weren't spending any time there. So it really was a place to sleep. I had the whole week planned out. I never had a day where we were spending at the pool, nothing like that. But I remember saying, hey, if we don't like the beach, this place is pretty cool if we want to have a pool day. We got there, rooms were great, no problem with that, and the restaurant was fine. But I remember the next morning we went outside, I'm like, this is it? They made it look like this monster pool resort, and it was the way they took the angles of the photos. I'm like, this is for like 12 people. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was nice, but it was so much smaller. I was like, damn, if I would have come here thinking we were going to spend 3 days at the pool and getting drinks, like, I would have been pissed. It was fine. But man, sometimes you have great expectations and stuff goes to crap. And then when you don't think anything of anything, you have the best time ever.
If you don't like this guy, it seems like he put in a lot of work beforehand.
Yes.
I'm big on that, right? Do all the research, and then it sucks. Yep. And then, like you say, other times you might do no research. You just roll up like, we'll just find a hotel in Galveston when we get there, and it'll be this great place.
Yeah.
You're right. It's all about expectations. When you go in with high expectations, tough to match it.
And now, sometimes they are matched. There's no question about that. Sometimes you get there, and I'll give you a good example. That golf course in Las Vegas I played with Boomer and Greg. I'd never been there before. Greg talked about it like it was the end-all, be-all. And I'm thinking, I'm sure it's nice given who sent us there.
But maybe he oversold it.
But come on. And then you get there, and it's like, holy crap, this place is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So in that case, it held up. But I'll give you an example. You talk about planning things. Kim's birthday, I think it was it 2020? It was right before the pandemic. So it was either 2019 or 2020. I don't remember. And at the time, I was doing commercial reads for, was it Orbitz? I forget. It was 1010 Winds at the time. So I had a deal with them where I got a good discount on rooms. So I wound up taking me and her and three of our couples, friends, to Borgata. I got the rooms for a really good rate. I paid for the rooms. It was her birthday. Took everybody out for dinner.
That's nice.
And I got tickets to the comedy show. Everybody's having a blast. We go to the comedy show. To me, I couldn't wait to go to the comedy show because there was one, I forget the name, but there was one comedian that I specifically liked. It was a bore fest to where we left. And the night came to a screeching halt because it was awful. We had so much fun at dinner, so much fun before dinner, so much fun in between dinner and the comedy show, gambling and drinking. And then we went to the comedy show and was like, ugh. Talk about, that was the one thing I couldn't wait for, and it was the worst thing of all.
Right, that was the one part of the thing you were like, this is going to be awesome.
Almost single-handedly ruined the night.
Right.
We left, we were fine, but that could have been the killer.
Right, but you had to do a comeback situation. You left there, and you're like, okay, we got to regroup here.
Yes, 100%.
We got to regroup.
Ended up, that night went to like 4 o'clock in the morning. We wound up having a wonderful time, but man, the only thing I was really looking forward to was the worst part of the evening.
Yeah.
I mean, and by far, it was awful.
Yeah, it's so nice when you get surprised at something being good.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like, if I go along with Gina to something she wants to do that I'm really not interested in, and I go in even with a bad attitude, and you're like, well, it's pretty good.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's nice.
That Friends experience I took her Kim to for her birthday. I went there thinking, I mean, I hope I'm not wasting money. I didn't know what to expect, and it turned out to be a blast. It's a nice little bonus.
Yes, right. Nice little bonus.
It was. It was good.
That Friends is on HBO Max now.
Oh, is it really?
I guess they have the rights to the to the Friends
series. Well, it ran through Netflix already.
Yeah.
So I guess now they sold it to HBO Max. They're making so much money from that show.
Those shows like then, like Seinfeld, how many times that's been sold, and Friends, that's got to be the two biggest ones.
And all over the world.
And everyone loves Raymond, I think, is big on that.
Dumbly.
Yeah, all over the world, right. They were able to go from TV to syndication to VHS to DVD to streaming.
Yep. And making a lot of money along the way. Every step.
Every step.
And will make money until they die.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, Cheers, I think. I think Ted Danson still gets paid from Cheers.
Hmm. Yeah, especially they're all on those, you know, it's like a lot of free streaming apps, like Tubi, right? Pluto TV.
Pluto TV is pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't use it as my only source because it's a lot of old television.
Yeah.
But you want to go watch the Dick Van Dyke Show, you go to Pluto. You want to watch Andy Griffith Show with the little Ron Howard, there it is.
And they're all on demand? Like you can pick episodes?
They have their own channel. There's like the Survivor Channel. It's not on demand. It's live.
Right. So if you want to watch, like Survivor's always available.
Yes.
But it might be the middle of an episode.
Correct.
When you turn. Okay, I don't mind that.
And it's like live TV. Like it goes to you can't choose which episode of Survivor you want. When you turn it on, it's already going. And then the next one comes on when it's over.
Yeah, I don't mind that so much.
It's okay. They got like I Love Lucy on there. They've got Bewitched. Andy Griffith. Dick Van Dyke. It's pretty good. They got the game shows on there.
One of them has like a Johnny Carson channel.
That one too.
Yeah.
They have that. They have that.
That's weird looking back on some of those things.
Yeah, I think they've got Letterman too. The old Letterman shows. I'm almost certain of it. I haven't gone to Pluto in a while, but I'm pretty sure they have old Letterman shows.
That I would watch.
Yeah.
Letterman from the 80s.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty cool.
That was right in my
Paul Reiser as a young man doing stand-up.
Yeah, I watched all like when Richard Lewis passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a bunch of Richard Lewis on talk shows clips, like Richard Lewis on with Johnny Carson, on with Letterman. It was so wild to see somebody looking so young. Like we're in an era now where we have really clear video of somebody in their 80s and when they were in their 20s. Like the video quality in that span of life was really strong, right? When you put on some of the things from like the 50s or something, the it's a little murky, the video.
Sure.
But so it's really strange to like see like young Richard Lewis on Letterman and then see him in his last days filming Curb.
It doesn't look like the same person.
No.
I know.
It's really strange.
Yeah, I know. And then it seems like people now age very quickly at the end of their life.
Yeah.
It's almost like you look the same, you look the same, you look the same. Oh, shoot, he aged quick.
Yep.
And that's usually when your body probably starts failing.
Yeah. Your body's like, this is enough.
There was a thing, was it Honus Wagner? I forget who it was. One of these Twitter follows that I enjoy. It's like old-time baseball films. I forget
what. Oh, films.
Yeah, I forget what it is. They'll have like real footage of Babe Ruth. I think it was Honus Wagner, but maybe not. The video is of this old legendary player. I'm just not 100% sure if it was him or not. And he was 51 at the time. He looks like he's 151. It's amazing.
And he was doing what? Talking about
his
career.
He was talking about baseball.
Yeah.
And his career. And it's like, wow, look at this. Black and white, but he looks so old. And then underneath, it's like a 51-year-old. Again, I don't remember who it was. I can probably figure it out. But that's what we always talk about is how nutrition and medicine, and it's just different. Everything's different.
Do you ever look at old videos of yourself or your family?
I don't have any.
Yeah.
I don't. The only thing I could put, I don't have a VHS tape or player. So the only thing I could possibly pop into the would be my wedding video. I do have that, but I can't play it anywhere. I'd have to get it transferred over to DVD and play it on the computer, I suppose. I don't know. I tell you, Al, I don't know that I have anything.
No, it's funny. Even like I remember when, let's say when VCRs were popular and we were watching things on VCR and then we would be filming on VHS. It's like my parents had all these films or these like family films, but they were on things we couldn't play.
Yeah,
that was the previous generation. It's like, oh, well, we have these films. We don't have a film projector that plays. It's like we're always missing the previous generation's,
because it gets outdated
hardware. We have the software.
Costco does a transfer things.
Yeah.
I just have never done it. I should do our wedding video before. If it's even, by the way, if it even still works, that tape could be, I don't know.
Right.
They might pop in and be like, yeah, no, this is dead.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never watched my wedding video. I should probably do that once.
Yeah.
You know, especially now. It's, what is it, 25 years? 25 years. I should probably pop that in.
My father at one point got all the VHS tapes to DVD.
He did.
But now they're like, now you got to search for a DVD player.
But you can put it in your laptop. Don't the laptops still have
most of them still do.
And if not, our desktops, desktops still have a DVD player.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not easy. Not easy.
Not only that, like nothing's edited. So it's just like, here's a 2-hour birthday party. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. So I think my wedding video is literally 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not sifting through that.
No way.
And I know Kim's dad used to do a lot of videoing of events. That's probably where I would see myself, because I remember when I came into the picture, he was big with the camcorder. But those are all on the now we're talking about different things. Not a full VHS tape, the small one that you had to put into an adapter.
Yes.
He's got, I know he's since passed, but I mean hundreds of tapes about, you know, family life and even when I was around, starting in the early 90s. Crazy.
Yes, very crazy.
I don't know if I want to see myself.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
Ooh, tomorrow's Friday.
How about that?
That's what I'm talking about, people. If you're listening to this right now, tomorrow's Friday. Celebrate and live, damn it. Soar!
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alan Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we go. It's Thursday. What is up? The Eddie Scazzeri. How are you? And across from me, Al John at Dukes. What's up?
Good morning, Jerry. Let me ask you something. You're an Amazon person, right? You get Amazon deliveries, that sort of thing. You know, for the most part, I would say that 90% of the time, the Amazon driver leaves the package at the door. Nothing happens. I have alerts on my phone that when Amazon delivers. Every now and then, about 5 to 10% of the time, the person who drops off the package rings my doorbell.
I never get that.
Yeah, and walks away.
Yeah.
Like, rings the doorbell, walks away. Another next level up is before they get to your door to ring the bell, some of the drivers, I'll get an alert that says, your Amazon driver has sent you a message.
Hmm.
And the message says, please secure all dogs as I'll be delivering your package soon.
Okay.
So it's like different levels, I guess, of what you can do as an Amazon driver.
Right.
Last night at 10 to 10, as I was sleeping, the Amazon driver dropping off my vitamin C pills decided he should ring the bell to let me know they were here.
That was very nice of him. Yeah, I don't know. You get packages now. I've had deliveries at 3 o'clock in the morning. They come at all times now.
Right, you'll get a thing and be like, no worries, this package will be here by 11 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
I know.
Well, ring my bell when it gets here.
Mm-hmm.
It really threw off the whole household, Jerry. My dog didn't know what was going on.
In fairness, 9:50,
yeah.
While not early, for most people, they're still up. 10 o'clock to me is the cutoff for most of society.
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like
when it gets dark, no more ringing the bell.
Well, what do we do in December then?
You got to get the
4:30. We're out.
4:30 packages.
Yeah,
that really threw me off.
I don't blame you.
That threw me for a loop.
I'd be startled,
Jerry.
Actually.
Yeah, I was
Who's
startled.
Ringing a doorbell at 10 p.m.?
And I didn't know whether it was a dream or not. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Did I dream? But my dog was pacing, so I was like, that was not a dream. Unless my dog had the same
dream. Get up
and
take those vitamins?
I did not get up.
Well, she had a nice, peaceful sleep. And then the dog had to go for a walk at midnight?
No, and she was like, what are we doing? Is it time to... No, it's not time
God.
To get up.
Boy,
freaking Amazon.
You are living the life.
And then I did have a message from Amazon when I woke up that the guy sent that said, please secure all dogs. I'll be dropping off your package. I do think about that, though. If you're an Amazon driver, mailman, or
you don't know what you're walking into. You're right. You're right.
I've seen so many videos online that I actually enjoy them. They're, and God bless these drivers that, like, they're getting in a more rural area. And, it's a house with, like, a long driveway. And there's a pit bull sitting in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
And the driver's like, what do I do here?
Right.
Like, to me.
Throw the package out the window.
That's what I would do. Boy, these people, though, they're like, they talk their way through trying to talk nice to the dog.
Mm.
Hi, are you a friendly dog?
Mm.
And then so many times the dog's friendly, but you don't know. Is a German Shepherd, a pit bull, a Rottweiler?
Or it's starving, having a bad day. You don't know.
Or even the nicest dog is very protective, some of them,
sure.
of their own home.
You ever see those ratty little dogs that don't shut up?
Yeah, those are the worst.
they bark like crazy.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, Jerry, it's not an easy
job. Well, that's
job.
Good to know because, like, when I get fired, I do anticipate to drive for someone and deliver packages. So I'll have to keep that in mind.
If I was an Amazon driver, you know I'd be sending the message. I will be, your Amazon driver will be here soon. Please secure all dogs and tough-looking people.
Again, unbearable.
He will be throwing his package out the window as he drives by.
Messages nonstop as you're driving. Voice to text, voice to text, voice to text. Okay. Shut up.
Be there in 5. Be there. We're 2 minutes away. 2 minutes away with your package.
I know.
Jerry, can I give you a buzz and no buzz?
No buzz, no buzz.
Here at 5:06
in
the morning.
Yeah, buzz, no buzz.
Buzz, no buzz, Jerry. Major League Baseball opening day.
I think that depends on the person.
Okay.
And I also
what's
think.
The buzz? Tell me what's happening? What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening?
I also think the buzz was taken away a little bit by the Mets being postponed. They did the right thing yesterday, and I'm glad they did it because tomorrow looks much better weather-wise, obviously. But when you get a postponement on day one, it sucks. So it takes the air out of the balloon immediately. If you're a Yankee fan and you're a real baseball fan, I think you're excited about it. I was looking forward to the Met game today. I was. Now it's like, all right. Now I like the fact that the Yankees are on at 4 o'clock and I will watch. But I would say a lot less buzz today since the Mets were postponed.
Yeah, I feel like there's not any buzz with this Yankee opening day.
It depends on who you are. I mean, if you listen to BT and Sal, those two guys are fired up beyond fired up. I listen to McMonagle for a half hour driving, and the dude, you would think it's Christmas morning for a 4-year-old.
Oh, so there's some buzz going around those shows.
Depends on your interest. Yeah, absolutely. I think Keith McPherson cannot wait for the season to start. Yeah. You know, for you, I don't know that there's buzz for World Series Game 1.
No, I'm just saying that I can normally, like, when I do buzz, no buzz, it's because it's something that should penetrate me, Jerry, even if I'm not a hardcore baseball fan. You know what I mean? Like, there's buzz for lots of things that I don't consume, like, voraciously.
Uh-huh.
But there's just an air and a buzz about it, and I'm not feeling that.
Well, I think the penetration was lost when the Met game got canceled.
That could be.
Also, the fact that all week we've been talking about this terrible weather,
mm-hmm.
and that became more of a story than anything. And the fact that the Mets aren't picked to win 100 games this year, too, doesn't help. I think all of that combined, and you're more of a Met fan than you are a Yankee fan, so all of that combined, today's Thursday for you.
Yeah, you know what? I think the other thing is that maybe the biggest buzz killer is our weather in general.
I agree.
Just, even if it wasn't raining today. Like tomorrow, it's not going to be baseball weather.
No, it'll be 55 and sunny, but it's going to be very windy, and it's not a great, it's not a bad day. It's not going to be a great day, though.
Maybe I also agree. Because it's like, who's our main Mets pitcher? You normally are
Jose
throwing,
Quintana.
Yeah, you're normally throwing somebody out there with their own buzz.
Yeah, I mean, Quintana's a good pitcher. That's the thing, like, you know, part of last year, we always get hung up on Verlander and Scherzer. Jose Quintana didn't pitch to start, and that really hurt them, too. He's a good pitcher. I don't know that he's an ace, like a real number one, but I'll tell you what, he's a damn good second pitcher. And then you got Severino on Saturday, who is ace-like if he's healthy and isn't tipping his pitches. I mean, I know what you're saying. Senga's out. You don't have Jacob deGrom that you're looking forward to anymore, but I don't know why. I feel like this team's going to be good. I really, and I don't think the pitching's going to be bad. And I know I'm on an island with that, but that's what I think.
Like, Nestor Cortez is pitching today.
That's fun.
He's a buzzworthy guy.
Because 2 years ago, he had a great season, went to the All-Star game. Last year wasn't good. Last year was not good. So he's looking for a big bounce back. But he's fun to watch.
Man, and he's pitching. He's going up against Framber Valdez,
that's
Jerry.
Right.
That guy's a trouble.
Yes, he is. What did he do when I was in Houston?
No hitter.
That's right.
Yeah, see, he's troubled today.
Well, the Astros are troubled at the Yankees, period.
I also see people upset that on baseball opening day, now that the Mets game has been rained out,
yeah,
there is no 1 o'clock game.
I know. They were the standalone opener, which was cool.
Yeah.
Again, that kills the buzz, no buzz. It's a killjoy. And so now you, instead of having that in New York, you would have had that one game, and I don't know, maybe it was on across the country on ESPN or MLB Network, I don't know. But instead of having that one game at 1 o'clock, the season's really begun now. Forget the Dodgers and Padres in Korea. That, no one cares. Now it's a bunch of games at 3 o'clock, or at least a good handful of them. That stinks.
Is the Shohei Ohtani betting scandal killing some buzz or not at all, you think?
I don't think so. I think that's going to hang over the season all year. No, I don't think so. No, not at all.
So that shouldn't be affecting any buzz.
No, if you're a Yankee fan or a Met fan or a Phillies fan, I don't. While you're interested to see how that develops and where that story goes, I don't think it has any bearing whatsoever on your team and your game.
Man, I better hear from buzzed up Yankee fans today during Boomer and Geo then. You know what I'm
saying,
Jerry?
I hope you do.
I better get some calls from buzzed up.
Now, again, we'll come back to what you said, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, the fact that the Yankees get two but open on the road. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
The Mets were the home opener and the opener today. The Yankees open, but why is it going to feel any different than them playing last week in Florida? They're still away.
You're right.
That it hurts when you don't start at home.
So next week, Yankees home opener probably be more buzz.
Then today, yeah, I actually think so, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I do. And I know the Yankees have, and I should know this off the top of my head.
Is the who they're playing?
Yeah, I know they have the, it's not an easy start. They have the Astros, I know, this weekend, and then they go to, where do they go to from there? I got to find it. Well, whatever. I know they don't have an easy start. Astros, they go to Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Who got Jordan Montgomery? Oh, boy.
I don't know if he'll be ready to pitch immediately, but...
Oh, he's going to shut him down.
I would think he'll probably miss a few weeks to get ready.
Oh, he needs to get ready.
He hasn't done anything, yeah.
Like J.D. Martinez is very busy getting ready to swing the bat.
I would think Jordan Montgomery's not going to be ready until at least mid to late April.
All right. I have a feel-good baseball story for you,
Jerry.
Oh,
I like a feel-good story.
This involves Elly De La Cruz from the Reds, who we like, right, Jerry? He's a tall fella.
He hits bombs.
He hits bombs.
And then throws the ball across the diamond at like 400 miles an hour.
And he steals bases, right?
He's a fun player to watch.
Well, he has ditched his interpreter. By the way, the interpreter got fired. What?
I know.
The interpreter?
It's funny you said that because I did see the note and my first thought was, good for him. Oh, bad for him.
Yeah. He says he doesn't need his translator, Jorge Merlos, anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Jorge's like, the season's just stopped. One more year? You couldn't give me a 1 year notice?
Or could you give me a little more time?
Yeah. So Elly De La Cruz says that he wants to speak English to the press and the fans because he says, quote, it's important for the fans to understand me and for me to understand the fans. I put a lot of work on my English to talk with you guys, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
I think that's amazing.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I think it's great, because if you put yourself in his position, let's say you went and played baseball in Japan or wherever, and South Korea, and all of a sudden you need a translator, you go try and figure out how hard that is to learn another language.
By the way, Spanish, I've heard, is one of the easier languages to learn.
It's not easy,
I would
though.
Not be able to figure that out.
It's, well, who do you call? What's her name? Who does the, that helps you learn the languages?
Babbel and,
Yeah, but no, who's the woman?
Oh, man.
Or at least the woman's name of the company.
What's the other, Eddie, the where you learn another language, the apps?
Come on.
Rosetta Stone.
That's it. Rosetta Stone.
And Babbel.
Yes.
You could do Rosetta Stone. You'll be able to speak French in 3 days.
I doubt it. That's the problem. I doubt it.
There's got to be something to it, because they advertise it like they can really teach you the language.
Yeah.
At least key phrases and words, I would think.
But English, they say, is one of the hardest languages to learn.
Right? Yeah, I was born here. I still don't speak it well.
Right, because it's very nuanced.
It is nuanced.
There you got this dude over here speaking English now to the press and to the fans.
How about the fact you said yesterday that, or 2 days ago, that there should be one universal human language?
Yes.
How about the fact in this country, you talk about different nuances. Depending upon where you are in this country, you speak differently.
Yeah.
Same English, but different slang terms, different phrases. If you live in Alabama, I don't think they use the same catchphrases as we use here in New York. And if you're in Massachusetts, it's different than if you're in Texas.
Yeah, it was very weird when I went to school at Indiana State. And sneakers there, everyone called tennis shoes.
Okay.
Even if they were basketball sneakers.
Really?
Tennis shoes.
I mean, I have seen that, but if you say tennis shoes, I think you're going to play tennis and you're buying tennis shoes.
The other weird one was, like, if I were to say, hey, Jerry, you want to go out and have a catch? They would say, do you want to go toss ball?
Do they ever ask to fondle?
They did never ask me to fondle. Yeah, toss ball. You guys going to go out and toss ball?
Yeah, it's different.
Man.
That's what I mean, though. Like,
yeah, just in our own different states,
mm-hmm.
things get confusing.
Even like different generations, if you will. Like, to me, if you had, all right, let's say you were playing in an adult flag football game. And if I said to you, what's on your schedule this week? So, like, you're the Eagles and you were playing the Cowboys. How would you tell me you're playing the Cowboys?
I would say we're playing the Cowboys this week.
Okay. You know what a lot of the younger generation says? We're versing the Cowboys.
What?
Yeah.
In New Jersey?
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you versing this week? I'm like, what? And when it first started, because I would say it was my younger son's age, they all say, who are you versing?
Really?
And it took me a while to understand what the hell they were talking about. I felt like, you mean who we're playing against? Who are we versing? Okay, and that's pretty universal.
I have never
for the
heard
younger
that
kids.
One.
Yeah, that's.
I had to tell you though, on Easter Sunday when I'm around my nieces and nephew, I'm gonna be trying to throw that out there.
But aren't they not 12? Are they?
No, the one 14.
Okay,
one
no,
of
that
them
works.
Is like 14.
Yeah, that works.
I'm gonna throw that by him. I say like, oh, I see the Knicks are on. Who are they versing?
You should see what he says. I bet you he won't even blink.
Hmm.
To me, it's who are the Knicks playing.
Yes.
Yeah. Very different.
Weird.
And see, there's the age different, not just geographical.
Do you think the Reds interpreter went to management and said, you know what, let me stick around for the year in case he has any issues?
Well, it's a good question, because Kenta Maeda apparently has been on the Dodgers payroll, his interpreter, for a few years, and he hasn't been there. So I don't know. I'm not sure.
They come to work every day if they're not needed?
I don't know. I don't know
if they have
them on staff just for, what do you call it, for instances.
You think like they're in an on-call situation?
So his last year with the Dodgers, Maeda, was 2019. The interpreter they gave Shohei Ohtani is Kenta Maeda's former interpreter, who the story I read has been with the Dodgers ever since. So maybe this guy has a job with the organization. I don't know.
What do you think they get paid? Like $300,000?
The story said that Otani's interpreter got $400,000.
Wow.
Which was another reason why him owing $4.5 million made zero sense.
Right.
0 cents.
But because he was a specialty and his best friend, like, what do you think, like, a random interpreter on the Cincinnati Reds makes?
Or how about the guy on the Mets?
Or the guy on the Mets.
What's his name? Oh,
well, Mets is New York. They probably give it a little extra cash. But, like, Cincinnati Reds. Maybe I'll reach out to this Jorge Merlos. I'm going to say
$150.
Sorry to hear that Ellie De La Cruz is no longer need your services. By the way, what are you making over there?
I would love to see you try that. Because your DMs go really well when you reach out to these influencers.
Yeah, it doesn't work, Jerry.
No, it doesn't.
Even though I try to be super nice.
That's actually pretty funny. And I don't know if he was his personal guy, too.
Yeah.
I would think a Reds employee, personally.
Yeah, I would think he's a Reds employee. Yeah. I bet Ohtani got his own personal one just because, like, big money Ohtani.
Well, they grew up together, apparently.
And he probably was like, I am not coming to the Dodgers unless you bring my friend here along.
Right.
He's
right.
Right.
Exactly. All right. First break of the hour, 5:18. Al's got something to tell you. Then we'll come back.
Sure.
More's to news, and then Boomer and Geo at 6.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 25 after 5. What is up? We got Boomer and Gio coming up on this Thursday morning. I got to tell you, the kids off from school today and tomorrow and the next week, it felt like Friday yesterday.
Because there was an air of, we don't have to go to school tomorrow in the house.
We were playing golf yesterday, and I'm thinking, well, you're off. I'm not. That sucks.
And my family's like, oh, you guys off Friday? I go, no. They all Monday after. No.
Nope.
No, we're not.
Nope.
We are going hardcore sports.
We are here every day.
Jerry, there's a disturbing trend that is being revealed on TikTok. Various women have taken to TikTok to say they were randomly punched in the face in New York City.
Oh.
It's been more than a handful of women that all have said they were just walking down the street in Manhattan and a guy clocked them.
Same guy, or is this?
We're not sure.
Various dudes doing this.
I'm not sure because the women aren't suspecting it, so they're not looking
at it. Dudes.
They're just getting clocked.
Hmm.
Welcome to New York, everybody. Right. New York.
Yeah, great. Get me out.
Yeah, let me get out. We're so lucky. When we come in, Jerry, we're like, we're kind of in New York. Just the tip, as they say, Jerry. We're just in the tip of New York. Then right after work, we slide right out of New York. We're just at a little, Jerry, we're like at a quarter mile of New York.
Also lucky that when we leave, it's early and we're not fighting traffic to get the hell out of here.
Correct.
That does help as well.
So if you do have to be in New York, like you and I and Eddie, we're in at a good time.
Yeah. I remember when I used to work at Sirius. What a pain in the ass to get to.
Oh, like if you're trying to get to Manhattan and go to a job, normal business hours, forget
it. Or like Midtown.
Yeah.
You know, not easy.
Yeah.
So that is not us.
If you're in your car now, you're in the tail end of it.
Would you prefer to, I know your answer is going to be no because you don't want to get on a train, but in terms of getting in and out, would you prefer to work within a block of Madison Square Garden or where we're at here? To me, it's here.
Here, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
It's too much chaos in Midtown.
Yeah, a lot of chaos.
There's a there are two
good morning. There's your feel good story for this Thursday, everybody.
there's a conflicting reports, Jerry, and I want to see who you think is who you believe in this situation.
Yes.
NFL media host Colleen Wolfe,
who's very good. I watch her on NFL Network.
All right. She said that now she got this from a quote very reliable source. So she did
well, she
not
didn't see it.
She didn't see it. A very reliable source told her that Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson were having a, quote, very heated conversation at the league meetings on Monday night.
Who else reported this?
This was reported as being, quote, super awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mr. Connor Hughes.
Of SNY
tweeted out that he was there. He was right next to them when they were having the conversation. It was not heated.
I believe Connor Hughes.
About anything.
Well, I have to believe Connie Hughes, he was there.
Correct.
She wasn't. So what is she basing that on?
I don't know. A very reliable source.
You know what? Really.
Now, we did hear yesterday that, unfortunately, Robert Saleh, when he got on a plane back, a child vomited on his feet on the airplane.
Yeah, I did hear that on the Evan and Tiki show 3 days ago or 2 days ago. I heard that.
Well, yeah, and Boomer confirmed it. I guess he...
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yesterday Boomer confirmed it because he... knows a guy at the Jets who was sitting near Robert Saleh.
Oh, okay.
So that is confirmed. Oh, imagine you're like, you're Robert Saleh. You're like feeling pretty good. You're in the NFL. You got a nice shaved bald head, super dark beard. You just had the winter meetings. You're getting yourself on a plane. And then, child vomit. Mm-hmm. Not even your child vomit.
No, someone else's.
Someone else's.
Yeah, and he was pretty good about it, according to the guy that called in to Evan and Tiki. He basically said, I'm a dad. I get it. No problem. Well, he really seems like a good guy.
Well, this is the thing. That was what Connor Hughes was saying, too. He's like, I have never seen this guy. And this guy's been peppered with question after question and questioning everything. Keeps his cool everywhere.
Yeah.
So that would have been very strange for him and Woody Johnson to be screaming at each
and
other.
And not for nothing.
In public.
You're going to tell me if those two were arguing or yelling at one another, no one grabbed their phone and started recording it?
Right.
And that did not become Twitter fodder immediately? Of course. Come on. No, I believe Connor Hughes. I think that's a whole bunch of nothing.
We call him fake news on this one?
I am calling that fake news.
Me too.
Yes. Especially when she didn't say she saw it.
Right.
So to me, what is the report exactly then? Nothing.
Maybe it was someone just trying to have an excuse to talk to Colleen Wolfe. You know what I mean? Sometimes guys do that. And they'll be like,
cute girl.
Yeah, I like to talk to this girl.
Kind of the way you used to smoke the Marlboros back in the day.
Yeah. Looking for a light. And just be like, oh, hey, Colleen. By the way, that was some crazy stuff with Rob Saleh and Woody Johnson. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, it was quite heated.
If that ever turned out to be the case, she should be fired for putting that out there.
But what if it was a very reliable source, as she's saying?
Well,
that guy's got to be in trouble.
I thought you meant a random guy trying to meet her.
No, I think this. She said very reliable source.
Yeah, I don't make anything of it, honestly. Nothing.
Do you make anything of this, Jerry? I've created my own headline based on two separate stories that I've linked together.
Oh, okay.
My headline is, the Kansas City Chiefs are getting fat. I've got two main players.
Fat as in PH or fat as in fat?
No, fat as in like...
Fat.
Like they're eating too much and getting fat.
Okay.
One.
Well, we know Patrick Mahomes and the whole stupid dad bod thing.
Right.
Which, by the way, he looks fine. But he's not ripped.
Yeah. But so his wife, Brittany Mahomes, put out a picture of him and these little mini, like, they're like mini ice cream cones.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
And she said he eats about 10 of these a night.
Hmm.
And then Travis Kelce said...
By the way, with as much as he's won, he can eat whatever the hell he wants.
That is true. He could eat as many little mini ice cream cones as he likes.
And what did Kelce do?
Kelce, on his podcast, when they had Saquon Barkley on, he said that he is currently weighing... probably 20 to 30 pounds more than he should because he's eating lots of pizzas and things.
He's enjoying his offseason.
Because it's March, he said.
And you know what he'll do? He'll be in plenty of good shape when the season begins. I do believe that.
That's why they think, you know, there have been photos of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on vacation, and he's always in a T-shirt. He's never shirtless, like on the beach.
Okay.
And and that's because he's heavier than he wants to be.
I could see that.
But he's enjoying himself. So you're saying both Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, with the amount of winnings they've done, if they want to eat some ice cream cones
right now,
they want to eat some
pizzas.
Go get
Fribbles daily from Friendly's. They've earned it.
And what time, when do you think they got to be like, you know what, okay, tonight, like what what does the calendar look like for when you go, I can't eat these mini
June 1st.
June 1st.
I think June 1st you start to get yourself back into shape in terms of your eating regimen.
Wow, so they got all of April.
Yeah.
All of May.
You got all of March. You got all of March, all of April.
Well, I'm just saying, for the last days here.
You still got all of April, all of May. Wow. And then I think June 1st you start to get yourself back into shape so that you're ready when you go to training camp at the end of July. It gives you 7 weeks, and you know they'll be in the gym, and you know they'll be working out again. And that's once you start working out, you start eating right.
Right.
And I think that they will show up, and they will be. Remember Derek Eater?
Yes, remember Derek that? Eater.
Which was phony, but these guys can have some fun in the offseason and just get themselves back into shape in time.
What a time. Like, if you won the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
It's March 28th.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking June 1st.
Yeah.
I'll start there. You've got another, right? As of today, you still have another 2 months of eating anything.
Having a blast.
Laying around.
Yeah.
Getting drinks. Having a good old time for yourself.
I would say so. I think you got to give yourself some time to just kind of decompress and not think about it and be so rigid with what you do. Now, other guys do it not only in the off season, but once they retire. I mean, Shannon Sharpe still eats basically grilled chicken and drinks water. I mean, that's essentially his diet still, and he looks like he could still play. Terrell Owens, I don't know what his diet is, but the guy is still cut to shreds, and he's got to be 50 now, or at least close to it. So it depends on what you are. And I mean, you're 55 and you eat about as disciplined a diet as I've ever seen. Depends on your mentality. If you want to have some fun for a few weeks.
I saw Terrell Owens at the Waffle House in Atlanta for that Super Bowl. He was eating like not great food, but he is
shredded.
Shredded.
I know.
That guy had gigantic hands, Jerry.
Like, wasn't he like 6'6"?
Yeah, he was a large,
big guy.
Large hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I saw a solo man sitting in the Waffle House. He had a hoodie on. I saw his hands on that menu, Jerry, and I was like, that is a wide receiver. And then I saw Terrell Owens.
Did you take a picture with him?
No.
You left him alone.
I left him alone.
Good for you. That's what you should do.
Yeah. Everyone left him alone in the place.
I wonder, where was this again?
I think it was Atlanta. It was Super Bowl week.
Oh, then everybody would be recognized. You would think you would recognize
him. He had a hoodie on and sunglasses.
Yeah, indoors. But his face is very recognizable.
He is very recognizable.
I want to play.
His hands were gigantic.
I want to play one for you, just because you mentioned the podcast, the New Heights podcast with Barkley on it. I listen to this. I actually understand where Saquon Barkley's coming from and the whole tiki thing.
Okay, because I was like, again with the tiki thing?
And I don't even know if I'll play it today, but I just thought, just because you brought it up, because I did cut it.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like Saquon thought that Tiki was in the NFL brotherhood and felt like personally disappointed more than anything. So listen to this. This was Barkley talking about Tiki and the whole you're dead to me stuff.
Before, when it first came out that the Eagles and I had interest, and he's like, you're going to be dead to this fan base. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. It's like, I love seeing NFL guys. I love seeing OGs. I love seeing you guys. Like, you have a platform, and like, this is a place where you know ball. You can talk. You can educate fans. You are ex-NFL player. You are ex-NFL athlete. It's like, don't feed into the BS.
He thought it was like a brotherhood. Like, you're me. Like, we're together. We're running backs. Like, why would you do that to me? That's how it came across to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
And even Tiki's like, I understand where he's coming from, but then goes into the whole, I haven't been a football player in, like, over a decade.
Yeah.
Because that's not me anymore. So I thought both of them had very good explanations, and it almost seems like Saquon felt betrayed by his giant running back brother, if you will. And, you know, like, we're NFL players. You're not supposed to be one of those guys.
I could see that.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and I saw he also said that because we had thought he was maybe going to go to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he did talk with C.J. Stroud and those guys. But when he got a chance to be able to go back to Pennsylvania.
And home.
That's where he was going.
Understood, and that's where he is. All right, quick break. When we come back, we got a lot more to do. And then we got a Thursday edition of the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan. This sounds like a song I should have on my Spotify list, but I don't think I do.
This is actually done by a Dave Grohl version.
Oh, okay. How about that? New?
You know what he used to do? For a couple years in a row, he did something called the Hanukkah Sessions.
Okay.
Which was him and his daughter On the 8 days of Hanukkah, they would release a cover song every day. Hmm. And they did it for like 2 or 3 years in a row. I don't think they did it this past year.
How about that?
But this was one of them. Rock and Roll, the old Lou Reed song.
You learn something every day.
Nick Saban, Jerry, sat down for an interview with...
Lou Reed, is he the one that wanted to be... What was the song he did about being a woman? Right? Is that not a good description?
That's not ringing a bell to me.
Lou Reed. What was his most popular song? Wild Side.
We'll Take a Walk on the Wild Side, yeah.
I don't know why I thought about being a woman.
I think there's something in there that I don't think he wants to be a woman.
There's lyrics in that, though.
But there may be lyrics in there about a man being a woman or something.
He was a she, yeah.
Okay, that's what it is. That's Lou Reed.
Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Yeah, that was Lou Reed.
I didn't realize that was him, too.
Yeah, rock and roll, great song.
How about that?
Oh, yeah, Jerry. So Nick Saban sat down, Jerry, with a very extensive interview.
Yeah, bothered there's no video, though.
Yeah, no video of this?
It looks like it's actually an article.
Wow.
With quotes.
They sent a reporter to his house.
I know.
I guess they got to talk to him and his wife. And it's really about how Nick Saban, his whole life, he said he has always been in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's a very busy. I feel like you're a guy who's always, like, you're always, you got a lot of things going on.
I got a lot going on, but I don't think I'm always in a hurry.
Well, he says he's in a hurry being a head coach. Where was he, Jerry? Alabama?
Yes. Was also in the NFL.
That's true.
With the Dolphins
and
LSU.
Yeah.
But yes, Alabama.
Alabama. And he was so busy, Jerry, always running from one thing to the next. And I guess he, over all of these years, he never did a lot of things for himself.
Mm-hmm. He was a football coach.
He was a football coach. And his wife said that he just sent his very first email.
You're kidding.
She said he's never sent his own email.
Wow. Oh, that's extreme.
And she said, for the first time ever, he went to the pharmacy by himself to pick up a prescription.
I could believe that. That one, the email one, I don't believe. I could buy that one because his hours are probably crazy, and I'm sure anytime he needed something, either his wife or his assistant probably went and grabbed it for him. He probably lived at Alabama,
right?
You know, so that one doesn't surprise me. The email one, though, makes no sense to me at all. How is that possible?
Did his assistant send out his emails?
I guess so. I don't know.
Please take an email for me.
Yeah.
So he's doing emails, Jerry. You might get an email from Nick Saban. This guy's just trying to catch up on all the years of emails.
Sounds like a guy that was in prison for the last 30 years getting reacclimated to society.
He's like, what are these cellular phones you have? is this iPhone?
He had that. He had to have.
He had to have an iPhone, right?
Or a Samsung Galaxy, yes.
Although she said, the wife saying that he's also like just starting now to get into texting as well.
You ever think someone like that, and I know why he walked away, and I don't blame him for walking away. Yeah, how many days do you think he's woke up and said, what have I done?
In walking away?
Yeah, like as much as he probably couldn't take it anymore, all the crap that's going on, the portal, the NIL, at the end of the day, he's a football coach, and now he wakes up, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but he's waking up, and he's staring at his wife for hours on end, wondering, now what?
Yeah, so he's like, I know I got a master email. But once I master this whole email situation, then what do I do?
And his wife's got to be like, well, you go get a job.
Right. Now, they said, this is also weird, that he's still going to keep an office at Alabama.
Hmm. One of those deals, huh?
Yeah. But he said his current office, I guess, is in the stadium.
Okay.
And he's not. He says he's staying away from the, he's going to have an office on campus somewhere. Probably just a place where he can go run and hide for a little while.
Did they keep him on as a consultant?
Consultant thing, yeah.
Yeah. You know what that means? They're just paying him to be around. That's all that is.
Yeah.
Consulting what?
But he seemed to acknowledge that you can't really be hanging around the football team.
It's not fair.
That
is not fair to the new football coach.
Not fair to the new
dude. There was a deal. Oh, come on. There was a recently fired or
the Pete Carroll.
I'm not thinking of Pete Carroll. No, I thought it was it Krzyzewski, where he was still showing up to practice once in a while, just to observe. And it's like it was not Pete Carroll because it was someone that was still around, which is not fair to the new regime.
Yeah, but it'd be very awkward if you have Nick Saban looking over your shoulder when you're trying to.
Nick Saban's got to be like, look at these 18 to 22 year olds that are still around. Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. So he's just going to master email. He's going to master going to the pharmacy, maybe run to the supermarket.
And then what happened?
And then what
is Nick Saban in the supermarket?
Right. That was the other thing I was thinking, like picking up a prescription. He's waiting in line. Everyone's, you know, in Alabama.
You're right.
That Alabama football is...
is everything.
Yeah, it's everything.
Everything.
Everyone. What kind of medication you getting, Nick?
Well, it's a good thing he's a very friendly person. He's not surly at all.
No. He's definitely into wanting to talk Alabama football while in line to get his heart medication.
Although now with no stress of the football, maybe he is a friendly guy.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
Bill Maher, Jerry, is starting a podcast network.
Another one?
Yeah, well, I never know what that means. What do you mean
either.
Starting a
I have
network?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
He's giving Sage Steele a show.
Okay.
He's giving...
a break.
Kevin Garnett a show.
That's what we're going to get. Who's going to get a show?
Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
And Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins.
All right, I'm in. Whatever.
What
Quick
is?
Break. We'll come back and talk about that. Then Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan Odyssey Sports Minute, brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We're talking Dodgers baseball.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Now you got 30 seconds, Al. What else?
Jerry, I had no idea that the Big Three basketball with RG...
was still a thing?
Yeah, that with Ice Cube is still a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But they made a $5 million offer to get Caitlin Clark.
I saw. Did you see his post?
Ice Cubes?
This was supposed to be a private offer, but now that it's out there... Okay.
Yeah. Where do they got $5 million? That Ice Cube's got to be dipping into his own personal
Isn't
account.
Isn't he worth $1 billion?
Ice Cube is?
I would think so. No?
Man, why am I not worth $1 billion, Jerry?
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1. New York. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.